This is the regular board meeting of June 27th, 2023 at 5 p.m. in the SCORE boardroom. Roll call?
Yes, Madam Chair. Commissioner Taggart.
Here.
Commissioner Riston. Not here. Commissioner Mastalotto.
Here.
Commissioner Salvucci.
Here.
Commissioner Thompson.
Here.
Commissioner Pittman.
Here.
Okay. Let's stand for the flag salute. Pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
There's no visitors in the lobby. Do we have someone joining us?
We have our general counsel, Ryan Jones, on the screen here. And we also have Megan Wharton from Michael Colantuono's office to brief us on the possible litigation or the litigation.
The board meeting minutes from May 23rd, 2023. Does anybody have any questions?
I'll make a motion to approve the board meeting minutes from August 23, 23.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? None. Employee safety meeting minutes?
Yes, Madam Chair. We had a board safety meeting on June 2nd. We included those in your packet for information.
Any questions on the safety of the employees in the meeting? Okay. I make a motion to accept the employee safety meeting minutes from June 2nd, 2023.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? None. Authorization of warrants.
Yes, Madam Chair. Myself and Commissioner Riston, who is absent, went over the warrants yesterday. There were no issues voiced by Commissioner Riston. The warrants paid at this meeting are numbers 28176 through 28236 in the amount of $273,512.87, including the commissioner's checks numbers 10704 through 10709 and electronic fund transfers. If there's any questions, I can answer those for you guys.
Any questions?
No.
Okay, I make a motion that we accept the viewed warrants and approve payments for the period ending June 27, 2023.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? None. Fiscal reports?
Yes, Madam Chair, we included those in the packet for your review. If you have any questions, I can answer those now.
Any questions?
None for me.
Okay, no action is required on that item. Election of officers.
Yes, Madam Chair, I'll need to take over as running the meeting here as the clerk. So I now am, as the clerk and taking over the meeting, I will accept nominations for chairman for the upcoming fiscal year.
I would nominate Brad Taggart, Commissioner, from Thermalito Water and Sewer District.
We need a second.
A second.
Commissioner Thompson. And someone has to close the nomination, and then we'll call for a vote.
I'll motion to close the nominations.
Okay. So now we will vote. So Commissioner Mastalotto?
Yes.
Commissioner Pittman?
Yes.
And Commissioner Taggart?
Yes.
Unanimous. So now you take over, back over the meeting, and you will do the same thing for the vice chair. So you will ask for nominations for the vice chair now. Someone will second, and then we'll call for a vote.
Okay, and why do I do the vice chair?
I'm just going off the rules. It tells me to hand the gavel back to you, or the charge of the meeting back to you.
Okay.
Who's up for vice chair?
That would be the city.
Yeah.
Okay. The board will elect a vice chair for the fiscal year 2023-24. Do I have any nominations?
I nominate David Pittman.
I second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Or is it a vote?
It's going to be a vote.
I think it's a vote, yeah. So Commissioner Taggart?
Yes.
Commissioner Masalato?
Yes.
And Commissioner Pittman?
Yes.
Roll call, I was trying to get out of my mind.
Yep.
Okay, with that being said, the nominations are closed and we'll move on.
You got it.
Appreciation of Service Award.
Yes, Madam Chair, if Commissioner Riston was here, you could give him that nice plaque. I will make sure he gets it. We will make sure he gets it.
Thank you very much.
We didn't know you had a speech.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, I haven't prepared no speech for today.
Okay. And thank you to all who attend our meetings. We appreciate all of you. Review and evaluation of SCORE Resolution 0423 and Policy Number 7400.
Yes, Madam Chair. So we brought this information to you guys last month for you to look at it. We were hoping that we would get some public involvement from the septic drivers themselves. I guess the fact that they're not here means that they don't have any objection to the rate increase. So we are asking the board because of the cost of treatment of septic, which has gone up, and we've captured that with a study of our process here. And we're asking the board to raise the septic rate from a multi-tiered rate, which had one rate of 73 cents per gallon within the yellow district, which was basically within the district boundaries of all three of the entities, and it had a separate rate of 83 cents a gallon, which was out to the sphere of influence of the all three entities. We found that that is no longer a legal way to do it. We have to have one charge, basically the same thing as for the Prop 218 challenge. If you're providing a service, it has to be cost you what that service costs. You can't charge more or less. And a gallon of water from 10 miles away is no different than a gallon of water from 5 miles away for us to treat it. So we are asking that the board approve our rate increase to go to a single fee of 19.241 cents per gallon, or $192.41 per 1,000 gallons. Just for informational, so you guys know, the rate at Neal Road facility right now is 32 cents, $320 a 1,000 gallons, or 32 cents a gallon. So, it's still not close to that rate. Now, their rate is a little higher because they have to ship it in a truck and take it. We just treat it all here, so that's why we can do it a little cheaper. That's the gist of it. We're asking for you guys to approve a rate increase up to $192.41 per 1,000 gallons.
Amen.
How do we notify the different companies about the rate increase? Is it just on our website? Or?
We mailed them a letter.
Oh, you did? Okay.
So we only have a certain amount of approved septic pumpers that come here. I believe we have six that are approved. They have to go through some process. It's not a hard process, but we've only had six that do it. And we sent them all a letter. I spoke to one of them. Now, granted, these are employees, some of them not owners. So, whether they transferred the information to the owner, I do not know. But we did send every owner a letter stating this is our proposed rate increase. This is when we're going to have the meeting to talk about the rate increase. We'd love to hear your opinion on it. And as you can see, they didn't show up. So, okay. But yes, they were all definitely informed that it was going to happen, both by mouth
decision
and by letter.
And we've talked to a handful of them in and out of the plant here as they've come.
Just a curiosity question, but I know some of our trailer parks have an RV dump. Is there any additional charge that we charge based on having that RV dump, or do they just take care of it at the site? I'm just curious.
We don't have an additional charge. We just charge the septic drivers the same charge, but they're only allowed to take that RV dump if they're not putting chemical toilet dump in there. And so typically we don't like when they go to the RV park and pick it up, because we don't know. It's just another potential source of, you know, right. What we're not supposed to have down here.
Right.
They do it here and there. We've been called in an emergency multiple times for Golden Feather.
Oh, is that right?
Okay. Because their system's gone down, they're full, and they need someplace to put it. So they'll call, you know, Roto-Rooter or Tom Septic or something to have it pumped and bring it down here. But typically, it's mainly septic, and that's what this study is based on. Septic and the difference in the strength of it compared to domestic wastewater.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
No.
Someone like to make a motion?
I'll make a motion to accept that price. $192.41 per 1,000 gallons.
I'll second that.
Do we need to do roll call?
Roll call, yes.
Okay, roll call.
Commissioner Taggart?
Yes.
Commissioner Mastalotto?
Yes.
Commissioner Pittman?
Yes.
Unanimous.
Okay, I'd like to back up for a moment because Commissioner is here.
I accepted the posting on
him. Okay.
But he did not include the speech.
You didn't give no speech.
No speech.
Okay, so now you can give a speech.
A speech. Yep. Well, you just opened the floodgates.
On second thought.
Huh? You asked Glenn. Glenn, can I talk?
I love it.
So, anyway, thank you very much. I will say that these last 2 years have been informative, and I learned a lot about what goes on in our community that I didn't know. I greatly appreciate the job that Glenn and Micah do, and the boys here. They're on the ball. They take care of business, and I'm very impressed by that. And I'm very impressed with Glenn's leadership here at SCORE. Everybody on the board has been nothing but cordial. Well,
Woozy.
Most everybody on the board has been nothing but cordial and informative and helpful. You know, Mr. Pittman over here has a lot of experience from his time at the city of Oroville and in the fire service, you know, responding to calls that probably flood this sewer line.
Yeah.
You know, and Mr. Thompson here is works for the city also and has a wealth of knowledge. And Rich, I don't know you very well, but just from watching you interact here at the board, you're a good addition to the board.
He's a wealth of knowledge too.
Yeah. He is a wealth of knowledge.
Yeah, a wealth of knowledge. Yeah, see, I won't be around to tap that wealth, but that's okay. Let everybody else have it. Angie, you're the best.
Thank you.
Yeah, you. I like the way you run the meeting, and you're obviously a very nice person, and I've had other dealings with you outside of SCORE, and you've always been nothing but professional.
Thank you.
And I greatly appreciate that.
That's and very nice.
My main man, Brad here.
A little rough around the edges, but yeah.
A little rough around the edges, but
forgot more than most people know.
Mr. Brad knows a lot of stuff too. He keeps it hidden, but he is also a wealth of knowledge. He has a memory that's great. And if you have a question about numbers,
he's the guy.
There's your man right there. So anyway, I'll be quiet. I could go on forever, but I won't do that. So
thank you. Yeah.
Anyway, thank you all for this. I greatly appreciate it. I'll go on my hero wall.
There you go.
Awesome. All right. And I apologize for being late.
No issues.
I was in Rayleigh's, and I was hoping to get out of there, get to my office, drop off some freezer stuff, and get to the meeting, and I got waylaid by two guys that wanted to talk guns.
Can't imagine.
I know. I don't know anything about guns.
You can't ignore that one.
Yeah, well, I made $1,000. I guess it was worth staying.
There you go.
Okay, we're going into closed session. Pursuant to Government Code 54956.9D2 and pursuant to Government Code 54957.6D. Okay, we're out of closed session. We had the conference with the legal counsel, and we actually had a positive performance evaluation for the general manager. There was information that was shared with us, and there was direction given to the general counsel to provide a contract at the next meeting. Okay, moving onward. Amendment to board policy number 3110, expense authorization.
Yes, Madam Chair. So at last month's meeting, you guys had mentioned that you didn't think that the emergency spending authorization that I had as manager was enough in today's day and age where prices are going crazy. We didn't really talk about an amount in that meeting. So I went to Chairwoman Mastalotto and asked her what she would feel comfortable with me putting on the agenda. And so we came up with doubling the emergency spending limits of the manager to $50,000 on my own if it's an emergency, and up to $100,000 with a call with the chairman or chairwoman or vice chair or vice chairwoman.
And we had talked about that at one of the meetings.
Last meeting.
The cost was quite a bit more than the $50,000. So I did talk to Glenn about that, and I did agree with his amount. Does anybody else have any questions?
I missed that meeting, so just off the cuff, what kind of $100,000 emergency do you think you'd have?
So the bridge, when I made the one call to Duke Sherwood,
oh, yeah.
$78,000.
By the pipe separation?
He needed it up front?
Nope. Did not need it up front, but I needed to be able to authorize him to do, to do that.
Okay.
So.
No, I was just curious.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's gone up crazy because when Scott coached 3 years ago, it was $10,000 was this limit. And so going up to $50,000
is a lot. We have Jamie's too.
Yeah. But yeah, the first phone call I made, $78,000 for that emergency.
So. I agree with that. That's fine.
Any other questions?
No. Good for me.
Would somebody like to make a motion?
So moved. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Roll call.
I think this one's a roll call because it's a money.
Technically, can I even make a motion since I'm not an official voting member?
Yeah, you can make,
you can make motions. Yeah. You just can't
make
vote.
Anytime.
Yep.
So, Commissioner Taggart?
Yes.
Commissioner Mastalotto?
Yes.
Commissioner Pittman?
Yes.
You can just say so moved and it's fine.
Yeah, because they're going off what you just basically read the whole deal.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, some people do it, some people, you know, it just depends, you know.
It's all on
the big. Hey, when it's a long one, yeah, so moved.
Oh, okay.
Come on, so moved.
Yeah, so.
Okay, moving on to the next item, the CalPERS contribution.
Yes, Madam Chair. So we have the opportunity to prepay our CalPERS unfunded accrued liability. It's $200,722. If we prepay it, we save $6,712. If we wait until it's actually due, then we won't save that money.
I tell you what, do you remember, Dave, when they implemented this?
This process of unfunded liabilities?
10 years?
Oh, yeah, it's been...
A little bit longer than that.
Yeah, long, 13 years.
Because I was the president of the association at Calusa when it happened.
That happened when I was... Because I remember... who wouldn't do it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, so, I mean, realistically, it might be up to close to, you know, $80,000 just by paying it. Because,
mm-hmm.
I mean, if you have the money in the reserves...
We certainly do.
This whole situation is created because CalPERS investment policy has been limited by the legislature, and that's when it all kicked in. Right. They start saying you can't invest in this, and this, so the rate of returns drop from 7 to 11% down to 3 and 4%.
So now they get the big money up front, get to invest it.
It's a disaster waiting to happen, and it's getting worse every year.
Yeah, it's because they mandated it's got to go into green energy and all this
other
stuff. The
legislature should have no authority on CalPERS.
No, it should be investing in what makes the most money, period, end of discussion, no political agenda involved.
Exactly.
That's it.
that's the statement that I have, but the sad fact is they are doing it.
Yeah.
And the restrictions on the investment portfolio is absolutely ridiculous. I mean, it even went so far as the Caltrans engineers got a rule passed that PERS cannot invest in any private company that does road construction work.
Really?
Yeah. That's how bad it is.
What kind of...
Yeah, I'll just give you an example.
Hey, that's more juice than the Caltrans engineers have in making that decision.
Right.
Yeah.
But the legislature did pass it, and it's just, it's...
That's crazy.
It is crazy, and so we're dealing with that, and that's why we're paying more for it.
Yep.
No, I mean, my wife, she's CalPERS, retired out of Caltrans, you know?
Yeah.
And, yeah. All you do is just see insurance costs go up and everything else.
But this is a good thing to do. I would certainly recommend it.
Oh, yeah.
As a genocide.
Yeah, when it came out, it was like, that's kind of, brain dead. It should just be set in policy to where it just rolls every year. You don't have to worry about it. You just do it, so.
That would be a great idea.
We could do that. We could put that on the agenda and just do it.
I mean, because money's money, so.
Well, the only thing is I'd be considered...
Yeah, they never know when you're going to change something.
I mean, every year it's a different number.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Every year it's a different number. The city...
Different percentage?
Doesn't...
Yeah.
Every year, I mean...
It's been pretty close.
We could set a policy that if we have the opportunity to prepay and save money, we can. It'll just be brought before the board to make sure you guys are good with it.
Yeah.
So it'll basically be a formality, but that way you guys will be able to see it every time before you say yes.
Or you can set a limit on it.
Yeah, exactly.
Because if they have a terrible year, this number goes way up.
Oh, yeah.
Goes way up. City of Orville paid ours down, and now we got $11 million unfunded liability. Wait a minute, we just paid it off.
Yeah. Huh. It's the mafia. You can pay it off 100% and then come back and be like, thank you so much. You owe us $200 million. You're like, what? Yeah. No argument.
Yeah.
We'll take your house if you don't pay.
Yeah.
It's bizarre.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay, it looks like we all are in agreement to that.
Yep. So we'll need a motion, a second, and then a
roll call. I'll motion the CalPERS contribution go forward.
I'll second that.
Okay.
Roll call.
Commissioner Taggart.
Yes.
Commissioner Mastalotto.
Yes.
Commissioner Pittman.
Yes.
Unanimous.
Okay, we're going to speak about the 410 schedule for operation personnel.
Yes, Madam Chair. So, like we talked to you guys last month, we've really been digging in to figure out if this would work. We think it definitely will work. We think it's a win-win. It'll save SCORE some money. And it'll also, you know, really help with morale and make the guys happy to have that extra day off a week. There are 8 policies that needed to be adjusted to, that were affected by this. So we've adjusted them. That's 2100, 2200, 2320, 2330, 2700, 2711, 2712, and 2715. We worked closely with Ryan's firm and their labor guy in the house, labor guy, to make sure that these were correct and that SCORE would be protected. And we're asking to enter into a 1-year trial period of the 410 schedule, after which I will come and report to the board after 1 year and give you my recommendation if we should move forward permanently in the 410s or if we should go back to the 5/8.
What do we figure out cost-wise? Savings or less or same?
It should be right about the same.
Okay.
So there was some trade-offs. So where we will save.
Is there anybody in personnel that really wasn't on board?
Nope.
Okay, good.
No.
Oh, everybody's on board? Oh, great. Because when it first started, I think you had a couple of holdouts.
Well, they didn't really know how it was going to work with their schedule. And then there were some things we had to work out. So originally it was like, hey, you know, SCORE only gives an 8-hour holiday. So if a guy's on, you know, off on a holiday, is he going to have to use 2 hours vacation to cover just a regular day off? We were able to go in, look at the city's policy, look at Thermalito's policy. That's not how they do it. So we just kind of copied theirs. They just say, if you get a day off for a holiday, you get a day off. If your day is a 10-hour day, you get a 10-hour day off.
Yeah.
So we adjusted it to that. That was one of the issues that the guys had. Like, wait, I got to use vacation to get a day off? Like, that's I'm owed? Like, that doesn't make sense. So, and I agreed. I said, I agree. That made, you know, our first thought on how to handle that was, well, let's have a CTO policy that they can use the CTO for that.
Right.
And that would be a good, you know, that would have worked, other than, once again, you're having guys kind of have to do extra to take days off that they've already been granted via policy.
But so the way you're doing it is more clean.
Exactly. But we did want to keep that CTO policy, and that is one of the policies that's in here.
And that has a limit on it, right?
Yep, 40-hour cap.
40-hour cap.
Yep. But we did feel like that would be potential money savings for SCORE, and, you know, just nice for the employees to have the option whether they wanted to take the money for overtime or get CTO. And that is at his discretion, Mitch's discretion, and my discretion. We can't tell them which one they can take, if they can take overtime or CTO. That's their choice. That's 100%. Decision, yeah. But we can, like, they can't just come in and go, I'm off tomorrow because I have CTO. No, it's the same as vacation. It has to be approved by a supervisor and then approved by me, and then you can get it. Now, I don't foresee many situations where they're like, I want to take it, and we say no, unless it's raining, and then it's no.
But what about if the operator is on his day off when a holiday falls?
So
are they going to bank?
They will get the closest day off to that. So, like, currently, like, if the holiday falls on a Saturday, SCORE recognizes it on a Friday.
Right.
Okay. If it happens on a Sunday, we recognize it on a Monday.
That's what we do too.
So for them, it'll just be the closest day that is to their to that holiday, which is their day off. So if they're off Friday and the holiday is a Friday, they'll get Thursday off.
Okay.
Like, if that's what we do. The 4th of July was on Sunday, they get Monday off.
Right. Okay. Yeah, I knew we did that. I just wondered if you had come up with some type of...
Yep, it'll just be the closest holiday, the closest day, and if they're both equal, like they end up in a...
The
middle of the week, so they're the boat, then we'll just give them the choice which one they want.
Right. Yeah, one of these policies.
Yeah.
Yep.
Is this compliant with the state of California?
Yep. We made sure.
I think that's...
Yeah. We did have one thing we had to change that... is it Jabbar? That's at your firm, Ryan?
Yeah. Jamar's our labor attorney. He helped modify a few things. For the most part, they were good to go, but we did make a couple things to make sure it's consistent with state law.
Yep. So we should be all protected and
one
good.
One question I have is for the days off, you're going to have 3 days off. How do you pick your days off? Is it done through a seniority basis?
Or? Nope. So we'll have two guys on a Monday through Thursday, two guys on a Tuesday through Friday, and one guy on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and they'll rotate through.
Okay.
So I didn't want, you know, we had guys going, oh, I'd love Monday through Thursday. I'll take Tuesday through, that's going to create problems in 3 years when some guy goes, all the holidays are on Monday and you get off. I said, nope, we'll rotate. If you guys want to do individual trades amongst each other, we have paperwork that, you know, that people sign off your, I go, nope, everyone's going to be in the rotation. Any change in that rotation will be you on an individual basis making a trade with another operator.
That's fair.
And so I already foresee that. That's going to be a problem if you have one guy that's got the best schedule, even if the other guy chose the other one, you know. So, no, it'll all be fair. It'll all be equal. Everyone will be treated the same. Everyone will have the same schedule.
Every 8 weeks?
2700.
Will it rotate every 3 months, or what is it?
I thought it was 8 weeks.
8 weeks.
I think we're just going with the weekend schedule still.
Oh, okay.
Yep. Every 8 weeks, they'll cycle through.
Would somebody like to make a motion, or is there more questions?
I'll make a motion to approve the 410 schedule with the adjustments of policies 2100, 2200, 2320, 2330, 2700, 2711, 2712, and 2715 for a 1 year trial period.
Okay.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed?
See, that's the difference between.
Yeah.
He sounded real professional reading all those numbers.
Yeah. Well, I thought that was a so move.
It was an easy one.
I was like, this is an example for so move.
Yeah, that's the difference between the so move.
you put it all in one breath, too.
A little swagger there. Still got it.
No one opposed that, so we'll move on to the next item. Rate study performed by Bartle Wells Associates.
Yes, Madam Chair. So, you guys have a big fat packet there next to you. That's the full rate study, and you can go through that one, take it home, go over it all you want. The big part that I'll be talking about today, which is the primary part that concerns us, it all concerns us in some way or another, but is I will be explaining how, which is the two pieces of paper that I set underneath your that's got table 8 and table 9 on them.
Gotcha.
So basically the way Bartle Wells approached this study to make sure that we were properly charging multifamily, mobile home, and single family, that they were getting the proportionate bill for the proportionate service to their property, because that is law via 218. So the way they did that is they used census data. And through census data, they were able to find out that 88, so in our community, a single family home has a certain amount of people, and each home or multifamily home only has 88% of that amount of people. I thought I pulled that one out too. I will tell you the exact numbers as soon as I find that one. I'm sorry for not being more prepared here. Where was that one, Mike?
Which one? Here?
The one that shows. Oh, I got it. So in our...
the census numbers?
Yeah, the census numbers. You have that one?
Mm-hmm. Let's see. Yep, page 15. Is that it?
Yep. So, yeah, and basically this just points out that we have, if you look at the residential category in the middle, a single family home is one EDU, and a multi-unit home is worth 88% of that, or 0.88 of that. A mobile home is worth 0.85%. And that's all based on census data. So in our area, we're saying there's 2.7 people per house, and there's only 88% of that in a multifamily home. So based on that, and based on the rate study that they did, and this is based on us borrowing $38 million for a loan for the upgrade. Obviously, I've told you guys 100 times, and I'll tell you 100 more. We don't want to do that. We would prefer to get grants and not put these rates on the community. And if we get grants, then they'll be, and I know Thermalito's done this in the past, they've foregone approved rate increases because they didn't need them, because they were able to fund it in a different way. And so that would be what we will do here. If we get grants like I would like and do not have to take loans, then this money that is attached to these sewer service fees for the upgrade will then be applied to the next upgrade, or we just would not raise those rates to that level. To that extent, exactly. So we could just keep them. But I thought they did a really good job on the study and kind of capturing everything, and the numbers came out better than I thought. I thought they were going to be higher. Their recommended rate would be, obviously we already have the 2385, which is approved on the last rate increase in Prop 218 in 2018. That'll kick in automatically on July 1st. And then on January 1st, it would be the multifamily adjustment would happen. So as you could see on that, on option 2 of table 8, on January 1st, single family homes would go up to $2,449, and there would actually be a decrease for multifamily homes from to $2,155. $2,155 is 88% of $2,449. So that is capturing that difference in the flow. And then same thing on the mobile home, it would go to $20.81, which is 15% less than the $2,449. That's 85% of that. And then you could see the schedule there. It would then go to $2,571, $27, $28, $35, topping out for a single family home in 2027 at $2,977. That rate will cover operations and let us pay a $2.5 million debt service, which is what our debt service would be if we had to take out a $38 million loan. As I've said before, hopefully we don't have to take the loan, and then we would have options, whether we wanted to enact the increase and put that earmarked for the next upgrade, which once we raise the rates based on this money is required for upgrade, it is earmarked for upgrade. So I couldn't just raise the rates and then go, SCORE wants Porsches for car, for work trucks. We couldn't do that. It's gotta go to where we tell the community it will go. So we would either, like I said, not instill those rates, or we would bank it for the next upgrade.
So we take a little reduction in 24, but then we go ahead back in 25.
Yep.
So
Yep, and the difference between the multifamily and the single family is not as bad as I, you know, as we heard in the other thing, you know, they were proposing a 50% reduction is what they wanted, you know, and so this is only a 12% reduction. So
yeah, and they were going to take what, 37.5?
Exactly, they'll settle for 37.5.
We're going to go it.
When our numbers came out and said 12, you know, so that shows you what kind of dealings they were trying to do.
Third.
Exactly. Yeah. So.
And, you know, we should be able to, now Ryan, maybe you correct me if I'm wrong, but we should be able to, I lost my train of thought. Basically, we could rely on this study as backup, correct?
Yeah, that's why you hire an outside contractor.
Right, exactly.
Is for that.
I mean, this has the teeth that if somebody wants to, yeah.
So what I'm asking for today is this would not be the rate changing. Because we still have to go through a 218 process. There's other things that need to be done. But we're asking you guys to adopt the study so that we may push forward to figure out what we need to do to actually change the rate, which would be 218 hearings through the entities, which we're actually still conversing. I just had a conversation with Jamie today. I saw Commissioner Taggart over there when I was there. We're still trying to figure out exactly the way that process would work with the Prop 218, because we're a wholesaler and they're the customer, and it's just there's a little bit of misunderstanding that we need to figure out, but that's why we have lawyers. They'll help us with that. So but yeah, today we're basically asking the scoreboard to adopt the study, and then we can finalize it, and then we can move forward with adjusting these rates.
I motion that we approve the rate study June 2023.
I second it. I just want to ask one question about the proposal. It says there's 2 point so many people per household. Is there anything in the rate study that would change if we have houses that have more than 2.5 people, say 10 or 9 or 8? Okay.
No, because that's just based on the census data, what people filled out, gotcha.
That's fine. I'm good with that.
It's the only data we have.
That's the only data we have.
Right.
You know, some of the other places that have that, like, are, you know, like a city that's doing the water and the sewer, mm-hmm. they have water flow rates that they can count on. They have different ways to try. We're just, you know, all we have is the census data, because we're just a sewer treatment.
And all we have is treatment responsibility.
Exactly.
So that's, yeah,
exactly.
It's all new. It usually fixtures.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I believe that's where the two that started all this mess, they're all city.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. and you know, you take San Diego, they're always looking for water anyway, so they got flow on everything. So
yeah.
reduction down there. So
yeah. I just want to have a question.
Let's Excuse me, Ryan, defendable document was what I was looking
there.
I knew it would come to me.
All right.
So
Lynn, is there anything else you want to highlight on this, or is just for our reading pleasure?
Yep, that's just for you guys to take home and make sure that you're good with it.
Versed.
Yep.
Versed.
And like I said, we still got to go through the 218 process.
Do you have another question?
No, my question's answered.
So we have a motion, and we have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? None. Okay. Attorney report. Anything to report today?
No, I think we've covered the things I wanted to cover. We're done in closed session, so I don't have anything else. Thank you, board.
Thank you.
Manager's report?
Yeah, I just want to say that thank you for all the words of encouragement and support through the last 3 years. I love it here. I never imagined that I would have a job this good, to be honest with you. I'm real happy here, and I'm glad that you guys are happy with the job I'm doing. I just want to do a better and better job. Every year I want you to be like, you're better than last year. So that's my goal. I don't know if I'll be able to do that every year, but that's my goal. So I don't really have anything to report other than I'm happy to be here. I'm happy that you guys support me and my staff, and we'll keep hitting it hard for you guys.
Any new news from Rudy Creek?
Rudy Creek, that's a good one, Commissioner Salvucci. So we gave her the contract, and it's been radio silence for 3 weeks. I've called her probably 25 times.
Dude.
I don't know right now. I don't have any...
Didn't you actually?
She was super positive about it. She was like fired up, and so
her and her contractor.
Yeah, so I don't know if you know. Hopefully, it's not like a health thing that she's just not been available. To, you know, I don't know what's going on, but commissioner, future commissioner coach, who is going to be here next month. He's a director at Thurbolito currently. He knows her, so I've reached out to him and I said, "Hey, can you talk to her personally? Like, try to get her, you know."
We talking about the landowner?
Yes. Okay, yes. We're talking about the landowner. So, I wish I had more information for you, but right now we're kind of just in a holding pattern. I mean, at some point, we need to decide: are we waiting on her? Are we? I don't want to. I would not think that eminent domain would be something that we'd want to go down that route, but we've also got a lot of time and energy invested in this. Obviously, that's a board decision. That's not my decision. But
does the board have power of eminent domain?
We can do eminent domain if we need to.
What about it? No, have you guys knocked on the door? Knock and talk?
She doesn't live at the property. A rental property for her.
Okay.
So,
No, we have not.
No, I have knocked on her house and knocked on the door.
Okay.
Be impatient.
I'm trying, but I'll probably start going to that level. I just need, if she doesn't like the deal, that's fine. It's your right. It's your property. Yeah. Say you don't like the deal.
Come back with a different deal.
Exactly. Radio silence is tough to deal with. It's like, I don't know what that is.
I'd be more than happy to go with you, even though I'm not on the board anymore.
Yeah, we can figure it out.
I like things like that. So.
The property is taken by eminent domain. Do we have to pay her cash instead of doing the trade that we had talked about?
Probably.
Yeah.
That would be a question for Ryan.
It'll be decided by a judge what you pay.
Yeah.
You're muted, Ryan.
It was a pretty good deal, so I don't see her backing out of it.
I don't either.
Yeah. I thought it was a win-win-win, for everybody involved.
But she may be on vacation too.
Well, I have no idea. That's the thing. I have no idea. So,
yeah.
And that's why I didn't really even want to bring up the eminent domain thing. But it's, my job is to give you guys all the options, and that's one of them. So.
And it's always an option. Okay, commissioner and staff comments. Any comments?
Short comment. I just like to. Mentioned that we have the branding process going on for the city of Oroville. Scott, have you been through that?
Yep.
I'm going to suggest that they're going to do it a slow roll. I'm going to suggest that the branding committee make a presentation to your staff down there so you understand what it's all about.
What is that?
I don't even know this.
It's basically the brand for Oroville will be identified plus a logo and series of things. And. Frankly, I say it exceeded my expectations. I was shocked when I saw it. So,
like a PR campaign?
Yeah.
Cool.
It highlights the best of Oroville.
Yeah.
Yes.
Have you seen it?
Yeah, I have.
Oh, you
have? I only had one. The cannery, the flag?
One big.
No. It's a presentation about the branding of Oroville.
Tagline.
And what we have to offer people.
Because Oroville's got such rich history.
I don't know if you can see the information, but I think Dave's having one of our meetings to talk about it.
Along the river, as opposed to just something that invites question. Oroville. Rich history.
Yeah.
That'd be simple, and people would be like, what history? Rich history. Open the door, let me tell you about that information.
So I'm going to suggest that they come down and meet with your staff, and just so you're aware.
Sure.
You're part of the process, so.
Awesome.
Like I said, I was a little bit shocked. I haven't been part of the process, and they're slowly giving it out, and I don't know how edgy you got to meeting, but what did you think of it?
I thought it was great.
Yeah.
They came to the Board of Realtors meeting.
Oh, okay.
So you mean you could have them come here during our meeting?
I don't know if it'd be, we could do it at a meeting if you like. It takes about half an hour to see the whole thing. Or I was at least get the staff to see it and then.
Where are we going to see it?
Well, I'll probably send the group over to your water district meeting.
Oh, there you go.
And then send one to ours too.
Yeah,
that'd work.
That's a good idea.
Because then it's just not two of us. We've all seen it.
Right.
That'd be perfect.
Yeah.
Good idea.
Okay. I'll be stirring that out. It's not like a big one-day presentation. It's a slow roll to get everybody up to speed on.
Right.
And initially, when you first see it, you go, I don't know. And then all of a sudden, I get it. It's like, wow. And the thing that got me stuck, I said, Oroville hasn't. Every League of Cities, you have a thing where you have the flag procession when you have the meeting, and Oroville's never had a flag. And they said, Ms. Pippen, you got to wait till the next three slides. And I burned myself. Yeah, there's a flag. So I'll I'll make sure we see that to all the board members. It'd be great to do.
I just, you know, like I said, you know, you guys go into our district, your district, and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I just think that unity mm-hmm. is more important.
Why?
And there's a lot of times we haven't seen that unity.
Right.
You know, especially in this board, you know. And it's just like what, you know, they're doing with their district, and mm-hmm. you know, we try to do it with our district. It's just little things too, you know.
Oh yeah.
You know, you do things, you get the employees together or whatever. It's just tighter knit. It's just, I don't know. I just think it's a better thing. But it seems like that we're all more on the same page down here than mm-hmm. definitely the last two times I was down here.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I think it's a good thing, and I can see, after seeing it, I can see, you know, people marketing a glass and then putting the logo on the other side of the glass because you're both. I mean, that's what I saw, so that'll be interesting, but you'll see that coming out soon. Yeah.
Good.
That's all I have.
Any other comments? Bruce, you want to have a final comment?
Well, yeah, for my final comment is tell the boys that and girls, that even though I'm no longer on the board, I will still continue to bring pie or a pizza or kids come and have lunch with them or whatever.
Is this like your district? Because I've never seen that at our board. Come in with a diet soda. One, yours.
Yeah, well, it's not for you guys.
Because you know we're going to have cookies. That's why you don't bring nothing to our board meeting.
No, I don't take it to the board meeting. I take it to the
guys. Yep.
You two got brothers? What?
Yeah, I'm taking donuts out to the boys there at TID. And the other day they were out there in a hot sun. I drove over to Chevron and got them all each Gatorade, took it back and gave it to them.
You're a good man.
That's nice. Right on.
Because they were hot.
That goes a long way with guys.
It does.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, any other comments before I put the gavel down? Okay, meeting is adjourned at 6:19. The next meeting will be July 25th, 2023 at 5 p.m.
Yeah, that's your last. You only got one more gavel left.
Good night, everybody.
This is my last one.
No, you start the meeting and turn it over, I think.
Oh.